the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Damian Collado. Hey, Damian, good morning.
Good morning, Gabby. You had a great weekend?
I had a great weekend. How about you?
Oh, yeah. It was nice. Didn't get the rain that we were anticipating, made things okay, really, because you got to stay outdoors if you were outdoors. Though we do need a little bit of rain, we'll get more into that in the weather. But first, we always begin our show with a prayer. This being the feast day of Saint Charbel, we'll keep him in mind in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, who granted Saint Charbel the grace of imitating you in all virtues, grant that we too, with his help, may grow in the Christian virtues as well. Have mercy on us, have pity on us, that we will praise you forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Charbel, pray for us.
Pray for us. We will learn more about this saint later on in today's show, but we're starting off with Colin Tully. He's retreating over at the Emmaus Retreat coming up in Bay St. Louis. You guys, this is the last time we'll be talking about the Emmaus Retreat. It fills up quickly, and they want men to know that this is a life-changing retreat and something that you will not regret. So if you're thinking about going on a men's retreat for the weekend, or you're maybe kind of on the fence, this is your last chance to kind of hear a little bit more about this wonderful weekend that has changed so many lives and brought men closer to our Lord. So stay with us. That is coming up in about 5 minutes. In 18 minutes, Mary Bruno joins us. She's a Catholic author and Creighton practitioner. And today she's going to be talking about her book called 12 Stripes Deep, How Infertility and Other Suffering Delivered My Greatest Joys. So we actually talked to Mary last year about this, but I thought since it's NFP Awareness Week, we'll talk about something like this because so many people are struggling with infertility and on their journey. They're in different stages in their life. So hopefully Mary can give you a little bit of hope today. And in 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, he joins us to talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. And it is always a fun conversation with Alan. I look forward to this interview every week. I always enjoy speaking with him. And in 48 minutes, Dr. David Whitten joins us from Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady in Baton Rouge, also known as FRANU. He joins us to talk about their new big grant for the Family Catechesis Program. So looking forward to having Dr. Whitten in the studio with Damian. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report today.
Well, overall, it was a nice weekend, as we just mentioned. And at the same time, it's going to be pretty dry this week. And the final week of July is going to be pretty consistent temperature-wise as well. Highs are going to be in the upper 90s, 97 or 98, not only today, but also throughout the rest of the week, Monday through Friday. Little or no chance of rain you can expect, maybe a 5 to 10% here and there. But overall, it's going to be hot and it's going to be dry. Winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles an hour. And perfect week to go to the beach, go fishing, just do whatever you want. If you don't mind the heat, get out there and have fun and take advantage of it. The meantime, temperatures in and around the area, Biloxi and Mobile both reporting 75 degree temperatures. Home of Thibodeau is 77. In Covington, it's 73. Over in New Orleans, 82. And in Baton Rouge, it's currently 76 degrees. All right, 5 after the hour. Don't go too far. We have your gospel coming your way, and we'll be talking about the Emmaus Retreat here on Wake Up.
A good Monday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Some of the scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and there is something greater than Jonah here. At the judgment, the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here."
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, for today's Gospel. It is 8 past the hour on Wake Up. Our first guest today is Colin Tully, and today he's going to be talking about the Emmaus Men's Retreat happening over in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. We've been talking about this a couple of times before, and this is the last time we'll be discussing it. So if you've been waiting to maybe go on a retreat or participate in the Emmaus retreat, then maybe this is your little final push to get going, because Colin really has been affected by this retreat in such a positive way and can't wait to tell people a little bit more about it. So good morning. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Gabby.
Tell our listeners a little bit about when the retreat is, Colin, and how can they sign up, because we're getting closer to it.
Yeah, it's August 11th through the 13th. It'll be, like you said, at Bay St. Louis. And we leave St. Dominic at 4 o'clock on Friday. And we come back for 5:30 Mass on Sunday.
The one thing I love about this retreat is that it offers that transportation over from St. Dominic's over to the Gulf Coast, which is about an hour. But Colin, tell our listeners a little bit more about why should men attend this retreat? What makes it so unique and different?
Well, when I first went, I was going like everybody else. Oh, man, what the heck? It's just one of these things. But to walk to Emmaus, you really realize that Christ is with us all the time. He's walking with us. And that's what happened, is that I'm on this retreat and things are just everyday life, and all of a sudden there's some different dynamics that goes on, and man, let me tell you, it grabs you by the heart and it pulls you in, and I've been a different person ever since. I'm a lot happier. I'm very great with my faith. I do a lot of fishing for men. That's my job.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's love, that weekend.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just that one weekend. And what happens is that all the different people that's there, once you are called a brother, once you go on the retreat, and let me tell you something, it is family. We all brothers. We love one another. We really, really get along. And it's my family away from family.
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually heard that it's very similar to maybe an Acts retreat or an Awakening retreat. I have been on an Awakening retreat, and that was a very powerful retreat for me to be on. Of course, I went very last minute, so I didn't have time to process basically what I was hearing from other people on the powerful aspect of that weekend. Is it kind of similar to something like that?
Yes, it is. That all of us, different guys will come up and talk about different parts of their life. It's all structured with the Bible and how different sections have us talking about how it affected us as individuals. And it is just absolutely wonderful. I've never seen so many men, when this was over, cry and hug each other. And not afraid to tell each other how much they love them. It is absolutely fantastic. And that's what's the power behind all of this, that Christ is with you at all times.
Wow, that's powerful for me to hear.
Fabulous walk. You walk the rest of your life with it.
I can imagine, because that is one retreat, the Awakening Retreat, that I will never forget that I experienced when I was at LSU. You know, Colin, it's a weekend that men have to give up, and a lot of times that's a way of relaxing or the weekends, or maybe getting some things done around the house or spending time with family. So what is that push that you can give to men who are listening right now to give up that weekend and experience this retreat?
Well, I'd say get out of your comfort zone. Try something. Try this, because you're not going to realize how wonderful it is until you're there, and how it will affect you the rest of your life. It's just not for that weekend. It's for the rest of your life, and it really does change you for the better. And God knows that we all needed it. We pray a lot more. We ask God to help us in everyday life. And we see other people who need that help. So that's my job. Mm-hmm. I go around and I talk to them about it. And I'm not afraid to go up to somebody and pray with them.
Yeah, I love that. So how much does it cost, and what is the deadline?
The deadline, we have a few more openings. We got 6 or 8 more to go. But the deadline is up until about this Wednesday before the retreat, which is in a couple of weeks, and it's $200. But don't let that scare you, because we have scholarships that we help pay for people who can't afford to go. We'll pay the difference, or we'll pay the whole thing for them.
Where can they go to sign up, Colin?
Well, wonderful. You can go to stdominicparish.com. Or you can call me personally at 504-494-4511. And I'll be glad to talk to them, and I'll be glad to get them an application and or fill it out for them, and we'll make sure that they're on their way with us.
Thank you so much, Colin Tolley, retreatant with the Men's Emmaus Retreat, such a powerful one. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Gabby. I appreciate it. Love talking to you guys. You take care.
You too. We love supporting the Men's Emmaus Retreat, especially because it's so life-changing for so many men. Hey, real quick, something I'm about to do is get a second cup of coffee, and why not join our Catholic Community Media's Coffee Club, which is a $30 a month recurring donation. And when you join the Coffee Club, we'll send you a dosage tumbler that you can put your coffee in it. Go to ccmedia.live and join the Coffee Club today. Mary Bruno joins us when we return from the break. It is 15 past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for July 24th. Today we celebrate Saint Charbel Maklouf. Born in a remote Lebanese village in 1828, Joseph Maklouf spent his early years as a shepherd. The work offered him opportunity for prayer and meditation in a nearby cave. At age 23, he joined the monastery of St. Maron, taking the name Charbel, and was ordained a priest of the Maronite Rite in 1859. Father Charbel's deepest desire was to live a simple life of prayer and solitude. He spent 23 years doing just that in a small hermitage, where food was brought to him once a day. But his real nourishment came from the Eucharist, the center of his life. His reputation for holiness prompted people to seek him out to receive a blessing and to be remembered in his prayers. But Charbel also went out to nearby villages to administer the sacraments to the people when his help was needed. In 1898, he suffered a stroke while celebrating Mass and died that year on Christmas Eve. His tomb became a place of pilgrimage and of cures. Known as the Hermit of Lebanon, Charbel Maklouf was canonized in 1977. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 19 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to The Truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. Our next guest is Mary Bruno. Mary is a Catholic author and Creighton practitioner, and today she joins us to talk about her book, 12 Stripes Deep, How Infertility and Other Suffering Delivered My Greatest Joys. Good morning, Mary. Thanks for being with us again.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell us a little bit about what we can find in your book, and I'm also intrigued by what 12 Stripes Deep means.
Yeah, so, well, infertility became the biggest source of suffering in my life. As a Catholic girl growing up, like, we just kind of assume we're going to get pregnant and have babies after we get married, and so I didn't think it would be any different for me. However, that's not what happened. And so as I started to realize that this wouldn't come so easily for my husband and I, it really cut deeply. And ironically, it was stepping into that suffering, because usually our initial reaction to suffering is to run from it, right? Like no, mm-hmm. I just need this baby to come no matter what. And, you know, I did that for a while until I felt the Holy Spirit kind of calling me to dig into this pain and to explore what God was actually calling me to do with my life if this wasn't going to happen. And so, again, ironically, it was through infertility that I discovered how fruitful my life really is. And so I just kind of began to discover the gifts God has given me that I really wasn't paying attention to because I was so focused on this one goal, this one achievement, to have a child. And in the Catholic Church, there's just, you know, a lot of focus on biological children, which is beautiful, but we kind of miss this other part of, you know, the fullness of motherhood. And so the cause of my infertility, which is a medical issue, and endometriosis and adenomyosis, which I describe a lot in the book, eventually I needed a medical hysterectomy, which was my biggest fear. And so I had done such hard work, or I should say God had done such hard work in me in the 7 or 8 years that led to that. I was shocked that I entered into that final surgery with such peace and joy that I went on to write some blogs about it that turned into this book that we're discussing right now. Because I had to explain how I got to this point of peace. That it made no sense. You know, but, and still, I'm 3 years post-hysterectomy now, and I'm still living such joy and fruitfulness that I love to talk about it. The 12 Stripes Deep title, which you'll find explained throughout the book, but I've had a total of 12 surgeries, about 12 scars. And so it was just this journey with such depth that brought me closer to Christ and actually brought more joy into my life. So that's kind of like the story, part of the story behind the title.
You know, Mary, one of the things that we experience maybe in our 20s or 30s is when we graduate with our friends and then we start getting married at the same time, we start having kids at the same time, and it's all over social media. But then we realize that we're not able to do that maybe in certain circumstances. And it can be very hard to maybe attend that baby shower or two or three or see that baby announcement on social media. For those women that are experiencing that right now, do you have any advice for them?
Yes, I do. You don't have to go to the baby shower. I think that's one of the hardest things. I think one of the most important things to understand is that you can be sincerely happy for a friend who is pregnant, or you know, a couple friend who's pregnant. You can celebrate that baby's life and bring that baby into that new home without putting yourself in a position that's going to cause you harm until you're healed and ready to attend events like that. And I didn't realize I had that permission for years. So I would go and I would put myself in these positions that really affected my mental health, honestly. And that's just not what God calls us to do. We can be there for our friends. And typically when we're vulnerable about our sufferings with our friends, they understand where they are, where we are. And they don't even really expect us to put us through those things. So I have I became really close friends with a business partner of mine. We started fan base together. And she is very fertile. And this is what we kind of accidentally discovered, that we can go through these opposite fertility experiences together when we're vulnerable with each other. And we can be honest about what's really hard with each other. And it's actually deepened our friendship. And she just completely understands, like, Mary, you're invited to this, but I understand if this is too difficult for you to come.
I like how you actually say that, because I think that's something that we forget. We maybe feel obligated to have to go to a baby shower, especially if it's somewhere we're close to. But we're also allowed to not go if we've been experiencing this pain for so long and putting ourselves through that as well. So talk about the relationship between, if you don't mind opening up, and I'm sure you have this in your book as well, the relationship between you and your spouse and how you guys have overcome this.
Yeah, so I think, you know, a lot of us go into marriage thinking white picket fences and everything is just going to be wonderful and beautiful. And there's many times when that is the case. But the reality, at least for us, is that we experience a lot of suffering early on. But I think it totally depends on how you enter into that suffering with each other. And in this case, we saw this as an opportunity to grow closer to each other in our suffering. The way my husband has loved me through this and supported me, you know, sometimes we hear that marriage is 50%, 50%, right? But we also hear, hopefully, that it's 100%, 100%.
Yes.
But sometimes my 100% that I could give was just much less than my husband. And just really understanding that helped a lot. And like I said, the way that he served me, it just, when I was suffering and at my lowest, and, you know, when we couldn't enjoy the things a lot of other people were enjoying, but really sitting with that suffering with each other and uniting it to Christ, it showed us how to love each other better. And so I just love to share with other people, don't be so afraid of the suffering. I mean, it's going to come, but also you can use that as an opportunity to grow with each other.
Mary, one of the things that I think that a lot of people don't understand is maybe the other side of it. So I can tell you, I would say 2 minutes after my husband and I got married, we were asked when we're going to have children, and we're still to this day asked that, which I think can be such an insensitive question because you really don't understand what the couple is going through. And it was a bombardment, and I didn't realize that until we were asked that question for the 10th time in a month. So talk about that, how that question can be kind of a rough topic for the couple. You don't realize that maybe going through something like that.
Yeah. Well, look, I think it's with good intention, right? You know, if you haven't been through it, you don't understand how that cuts, you know, when you hear it as someone who has been trying to get pregnant, or even if you're not infertile, but you just, you're not, you know, the time hasn't come yet. It's just interesting because it's just a difficult, you don't always want to share those kind of intimate details with others. But I would just say, again, this is an opportunity. It's not always easy, but you can respond in honesty too, you know, and that can be a good segue to a good, honest conversation that we're just not always used to having and being vulnerable and be like, well, you know, actually we have been trying to get pregnant. Just hasn't happened yet. If you could please pray for us. And then that gives, you know, infertility is often suffered in silence. A lot of people, you know, people don't know how many people around them are actually struggling with this. So if we have the freedom and the vulnerability to just be a little more open about that, I think that actually helps to create more authentic conversations and really educate people that this is something a lot of people struggle with and, you know, just maybe ask different questions. But I do also think it's an opportunity for other people to enter into prayer for those people struggling in that way.
That's a great answer. Thank you so much, Mary. Where can we go to pick up a copy of your book, 12 Stripes Deep, How Infertility and Other Suffering Delivered My Greatest Joy?
You can order it on Amazon or any other place online pretty much that sells books.
All right. And do you have any future writings or publications you have coming up? Because I think something like this is really going to, or has been, powerful for a lot of women and especially a lot of couples.
Yeah, I do. So I've actually written a journal. excuse me. This first book that I wrote is a memoir where I kind of use my personal experiences to paint a bigger picture about suffering and fruitfulness. But the journal I wrote is basically taking a lot of the concepts that I learned and opening those up. I have some song recommendations and journal prompts as well. So I think it's really going to help facilitate the reader to go deeper in their own personal healing journey. I'm excited about it. In the next year or so, I don't know exactly when it'll be out, but it is written and it's ready to go.
Well, I love that. And I can't wait to talk about it on Wake Up and have you join us again. One more time, where can we pick up a copy of your book, Mary?
You can order it on Amazon or almost any other place that sells books online.
All right. Mary Bruno, author of the book 12 Stripes Deep, How Infertility and Other Suffering Delivered My Greatest Joy. Thank you so much, Mary, for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And anyone who's listening, maybe you have a family member who's going through this. Maybe you're going through this. Maybe your spouse is. You're going through this together. You are not alone. So definitely check out Mary's book. I actually linked it in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video. That's a Wake Up Monday. So you can go and find it on there. Alan Migliorato joins us when we return from the break. And he's going to be talking about raising Catholic teens in today's world. It's always an interesting conversation with Alan. Stay with us. It is 8:30 on Wake Up.
And a happy Monday, everyone. 35 after the hour. Welcome back to Wake Up. Gabby Smith, Damian Collado, and with us now, our good friend Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens in Today's Crazy World. And today's topic happens to be Freedom, Faith, and Spirituality, a Foundation to a Happy Teen. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, y'all. Always happy to be here with you.
Well, good. Would your teens be happy to be with us today talking about this?
It depends on what we say. It always depends on what's happening to know if teens are going to be happy. So I think what parents want, right, and this is a general statement, so I think most parents who are formed in their faith and centered on the Catholic faith and centered on Christ want their kids to have the same thing, because we know, like, what's good for them. You know, we know what's best for them. We've been given that authority by God to form and shape and guide our children toward Christ and then the Catholic faith. And it's a hard thing to do, to watch as your kids get older, to watch them question their faith. And it takes a really strong parent and patient parent to accept those questions and to accept those challenges that their teens give them. And a lot of time it's because parents really don't have the answers. I can't tell you how many parents that I speak with don't have any idea what they believe. And that's a shame, because it's their parents or their grandparents' faith that's been passed on to them, but they really don't have a relationship with Christ. And that's really why we see, you know, that exodus when kids are, you know, after confirmation, between confirmation and like 22, 23 years old, we see this huge exodus in the church of that age range, and they're not really connected. You have some kids that are, and some kids go off to college, and you want to pass it off by saying, well, that's natural. Well, it doesn't have to be. If you have a relationship with somebody, you're not going to stop being, like, you're not going to stop being best friends because you move or because you've grown up. You know, you might, but that's because your interests change or that person changes, but Christ doesn't change, and it's us that changes. So what I mean by all of this is we've got to help our kids build that relationship with Christ and accept those challenging questions, like help them answer them. If we don't know them, that's our main number one job. It's not how much money we bring home. It's not if we've gone to Europe for 4 weeks in the summer. It's making sure our kids are focused on Christ, and that's a challenging thing at times, because sometimes we're not focused.
Right. And, you know, I think the key, and you said it, is modeling. You've got to be the example for your children, so they in turn will understand that, hey, it seems to be working for mom and dad. Maybe it'll work for me. And at the same time, they need that guidance and somewhat discipline to coax them along. But you don't do it by browbeating them, for sure. What are some suggestions that you have for parents, outside of parents themselves getting a good spiritual foundation? But studies have shown that teens who do have a good, strong faith-based foundation, as not only have a good, positive attitude, but they also do better in life in a lot of cases, at least early on.
I think the number one thing that I see that creates a strong foundation of faith in teens is open dialogue with their parents. And that doesn't mean having the answer to every question that they throw at you. It means having them feel comfortable enough to approach you with questions. Like, why do I have to go to confession with the priest? Why can't I talk right to God?
Mm-hmm.
Great question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have to take the time to answer those questions. Or what do you mean it's the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist? Like, isn't it just a wafer that it's a symbol? Great question. It makes us uncomfortable because sometimes we just can't explain things. It doesn't mean we ever answer with just because I said so or just do it. That's the worst thing we can do with our children, is just to brush it off and say, listen, just do what you're supposed to do, and you want to get to heaven or not, you know? And that's the worst thing we can do. And sometimes we have to say, you know, like, I struggle with that too, but, like, I know there's things that I don't understand about my spirituality, and I'm not supposed to understand everything, and Christ is there, and he is present, and I know it's him, and I can go into the trogo and the phygo and go into the different Greek words that Christ used when he was talking about the Eucharist, but it really may not mean a whole lot to our kids. We've got to be able to willing to ask those questions, like, why don't you believe that? Or what else do you struggle with? Or you don't believe gravity is there, but you don't see it, but it's really there, isn't it? If you jump off a building, you're going to feel gravity. So Christ is there. You can feel that he's there. And that's that relationship that we have to help build. Keep guiding your kids to the church and get involved in service projects and get involved in the church. And, you know, you want to be an active participant. You can go to a football game all the time, all day, every day, every weekend you can go to a football game, but until you throw a pass or make a tackle, you really aren't in the game. So get in the game with your kids at church and get them involved, get them to be ushers and lectors and, you know, greeters and anything else that they can do at church. Encourage them to do that.
Yeah, and where does the freedom come in when it comes to the faith and spirituality?
So here's the hard part, right? When they're adults, when they start becoming young adults, and they say, you know what, I just want to see what the Lutheran church says. I'm going to go to a Lutheran church service. And then you want to bite your tongue off, you know? You want to be like, are you kidding me? Like, 18 years we talked about this, and you want to go, like, what's wrong with you? That's the first reaction, is like, you know, and say, look, I think that's great. I encourage you, go. Make sure you go to Mass, a Catholic Mass, but then if you want to check out something else and see what the difference is, I encourage you, I'll go with you. You know, I'll go with you. And then you can talk about it afterwards. And that takes a lot of courage for parents, because you're like, I'm not setting foot in another church. I'm Catholic. Okay, relax. Everybody take a deep breath, right? And it's a long game. It's the long game. And listen, I experienced that too. My youngest daughter says, I'm not Catholic anymore. And I'm like, ah, yeah, you are. But why don't you think you are, you know? And so we have these talks, and it's like she's in the, and that's hard for me, because I talk to people about this. I give advice on this. And it's that freedom that you have to say, look, I can't force you to believe in the Eucharist. I can't force you to believe in the Catholic Church. I know my heart, why she's following a boy, and that's what happens. You follow a boy, you follow your job, you follow, you know, a career, you follow your desires. But anything that takes you away from Christ, if you're not building the kingdom, you're breaking it down. But you can't browbeat him and beat him over the head with, you know, a rosary and say, you have to believe in this. That's the free will that God gave us, and we have to extend that to our kids at some point, right? When they're younger, they're doing what we say. But we still have that authority as their parents, but you can't force them.
And when it comes to your teens, what has been the biggest challenge you've had? And we've got about a minute and a half, so just giving you a heads up on that.
My personal challenge, probably being patient, you know, and following my own advice and not having that knee-jerk reaction, like, what do you mean you're not Catholic? Yes, of course you are. I just saw you. You pray. I know you. You know, and just saying, well, what do you, and asking that question, kind of, my wife has been a really good balance for me. She'll say, just relax, you know, and I will, and then I'll ask the questions and I get back into the groove. But I think just having that knee-jerk reaction when any teen comes up and says, yeah, I don't feel like being Catholic. And you want to go, oh, my gosh, I want to strangle you. But you can't do that.
No, you can't.
And because it's just not the right thing to do.
So, Alan, you're going to be coming to our area in next
Yay.
Month, as a matter of fact, in Mandeville. Share with us real quick your visit. And if people want to see you live and in person, give us some of the details. I believe it's August 24th and 25th.
Yeah, 24th and 25th, and then I come back here on the 26th. I'll be speaking at, it's Mary, oh my gosh, you have the information, Mary Queen.
Queen of Peace.
Queen of Peace,
Queen of
yes.
Peace. You know what, I always want to say Mary Queen of the Universe because we have a big shrine here, but Mary
yeah.
Queen of the Universe,
oh,
Mary
yeah.
Queen of Peace. Yeah, so I'm going to be there on the 24th and 25th, and there should be information on your webpage, right, on the radio station
yes.
webpage?
Yes, there is.
Yep. So if
yes.
you guys want to hear me or throw tomatoes at me in person, this is a really good place to do it at.
I want to go to dinner with Alan. We need to go to dinner with Alan.
Oh, we'll do that
and
as
talk
well.
More.
Yeah,
for sure.
But, we'll bring our teens if we have any. And
bring your kids.
Bring real teens.
The one night,
I'm sure
one
they'll
night
enjoy
for
it. Alan,
yeah, Friday night is for parents only.
Right. I was going to say one night is just for parents, and then the next night is for the parents and the teens, and it's entitled Mission Impossible or something. What is it? You've got the title there?
Yeah. Yeah, it should all be on the webpage, but you can reach me at adventurecatholic.com with questions or reach out if you want information about the talk.
Excellent. Okay. Well, there you go. Alan Migliorato, thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again next Monday. In the meantime, Dr. David Wooden with Fran U. He'll be in our studios. We're going to chat about a grant that they just received.
Here's a CC Media Did You Know.
Were you aware that CC Media has bumper stickers and prayer cards? Visit ccmedia.live and click on Become an Ambassador, and we'll mail them to you. Just go to ccmedia.live.
Hi, I'm Chad Olivier, Certified Financial Planner, CEO of Olivier Group. My wife Rose and I and our four sons are parishioners of St. George Catholic Church. Olivier Group was founded in 2002 with the goal of helping families with all aspects of financial planning to protect your family. We do this by using a team approach with a personal touch, always acting in the client's best interest. Life by design, not by default. Visit our website at oliviergroup.com.
Cetera Advisor Networks, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC, CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
August 15th is the date for the 9th annual Fête de Détesh boat procession down the Bayou Teche. Thousands of people come every year to celebrate their faith and South Louisiana heritage. The day begins with Mass en Francais with Bishop Deschatel at 8 a.m. in Our Lady of the Assumption Church in Franklin. The boats then depart for a Eucharistic boat procession ending in New Iberia. There are many stops along the way for people to pray and give public witness to their faith. Confession will be heard in mobile units at each of the stops along the way. We need you to drive your boat or join us at one of the stops along the way. Register your boat today or find out more information at fetdedetesh.org or by liking their Facebook page. Don't miss the 9th annual Fête de Détesh, Tuesday, August 15th. Once again, visit fetdedetesh.org.
I'm Ian Malosson with River Road Coffees. We're proud to support Catholic Community Radio across the Gulf South. Our coffee wakes up the staff every morning and keeps them going throughout the day so they can deliver the freshest Catholic content and news to you. You'll also find us at many Catholic community radio events. River Road Coffees at your local grocer or visit riverroadcoffees.com for home delivery.
Here's a CC Media Did You Know.
Looking for Catholic content on the go? Then get our free app for our radio stations. Listen 24 hours a day, anywhere in your world. Search for Catholic Community Radio in the App Store or Google Play.
This is Chef John Falls inviting you to think outside of the box at White Oak Estate and Gardens. Meat and Our Gardens are under the outdoor pavilion where delicious food is commonplace. Strategize adjacent to a trickling stream while enjoying breakfast or lunch. Oh yes, we do parties and weddings, but we'd love to earn your weekly business too. White Oak Estate and Gardens, 751-1882, located on George O'Neill Road, right next to Cypress Springs Mercedarian Prayer Center.
12 minutes before the top of the hour. You're listening to Wake Up on this Monday morning. And with us now in our studio, Dr. David Whitten. He is a regular, and we're talking about a grant that they just recently received from the Lilly Endowment entitled Christian Parenting and Caregiving Initiative. It's under that realm. The project itself is called the Dominus Project. And Dr. Whitten, good morning. And man, that's a big grant. Only 66 organizations of sorts received a grant of this magnitude, and congratulations on that to begin with, but then we're going to do a deep dive as to what it all entails.
Sure. Well, thank you very much. We're really excited. The Lilly Endowment has really been investing a lot of money over the last several decades in thinking about how we bring the faith forward into the next generation. And so this is really, I think, a groundbreaking grant for us at FRANU. Our goal has always been to serve our diocese and to serve the church, and we think this is a way where we can really advance the faith in the Baton Rouge area.
So what is the Lilly Endowment asking FRANU in particular to do? In other words, what is this project all about?
Sure. So they are working off of some research by a sociologist at Notre Dame named Christian Smith, who's done a lot of work on this. And what he's discovered in his research is that the primary indicator of the future faith of a child isn't PSR or whether they go to Catholic school. It's really about the faith of their parents, that the parents are the primary people who hand on the faith. And so the Lilly Endowment has taken that research and said, okay, let's see how we can improve our ability for parents to pass the faith along. So they put out a big call for proposals. I don't know how many they got, but we were very fortunate, not just fortunate, because we have an excellent proposal. My colleague Brian Pedraza is the one who conceived of this and wrote the proposal. It's really excellent. And so it really wasn't a surprise that we got it, because it was such an excellent proposal for us to think about in our community. How can we really help our churches best pass along the faith? So there'll be 66 or some other number of people across the country trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll learn some what works and what doesn't work, but we're going to figure out what works out down here.
And it's cross-section of religion. It's not just Catholics, it's Protestants
as well.
And,
right.
Yeah. What are some of the ways that you and Dr. Pedraza have been sitting down and talking about to incorporate into this project? I believe you said January it will be the kickoff.
We'll be launching it in January, yes.
So you've got to get all the groundwork and the foundation laid between now and then, I would think.
Right. So part of the program is actually to put the groundwork down, too. So we'll have time to do that. And I wouldn't say I've done a whole lot of sitting down and talking with Dr. Pedraza. He's really quite brilliant. His specialty is in catechesis. So we're very fortunate to have somebody like that in our diocese and at FRANU working with us. So it's several things. One is we've been working at FRANU for a long time. Our goal has always been to be the intellectual center of Catholic faith in the Baton Rouge area and diocese. Mm-hmm. So we've got close interactions with priests, with deacons, with lay people, with the schools, and so on. So part of it is how can we train those people to train the people in their parishes, the families in their parishes, to pass along the faith.
Okay.
So in that sense, we want to be kind of a mediating institution. At the same time, we're going to work with several specific parishes, both some inner city parishes, some Hispanic-speaking parishes, and so on, to really work with those families, to draw those families into the church, to draw those parents into the ability to give the faith away. You know, Alan, in the previous segment, was really talking about the importance of the parents for that. And we always say, you can't give what you don't have. Mm-hmm. He was talking about parents who don't have answers and don't know how to, and they just tell kids to stop asking questions. And as somebody who deals with those students when they get into the classroom several years later, and they think they're not supposed to ask questions, like the first thing I have to do is open up to them. It's like, it's okay to ask questions. There at the center, is when Dr. Pedraza put together the proposal, the very first thing he says is, we actually have to start with prayer. We really have to pray in this. Sometimes we assume this when we're doing these kind of things, but he was very explicit about this. Actually, really needs to begin with some serious prayer in our community about how can we really give this faith to our children so that they have what they need.
Yeah. So you'll be working with the leaders who will then go to the other leaders in the church right. parishes, and then they to the families.
Right. We'll be working closely with those leaders as these things roll out. Absolutely.
What is your overall impression of the family domestic church, so to speak, currently? I mean, it seems to be that's where it all has to start, as we just talked about.
Right.
But are they willing to start?
Right. So we've been talking about the domestic church for years now. How we actually execute that, I don't think anybody's quite figured out yet. And actually, that's the basis of the term Dominus, the Dominus Project, which is to suggest that God has to be the Lord of our family's lives first.
Yeah.
And so how are we going to do that? And part of it is, you know, it was interesting, again, when Alan was talking about the question of freedom and, you know, what happens when your teenager doesn't want to go to church anymore. I always think about that one of the things that the church needs to do is actually be better, and parents need to be better at attracting people. It's not compelling, but to make the church an attractive place to be, a place where they can get their questions answered. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes, you know, we as families, we need to, if we can't answer a question, we need to know who the resources are, the people that can answer those questions for us. Our priests are busy, but that's also part of our program, is to put resources in place in parishes for where kids can sort of, and families can engage with these questions and get really good Catholic answers as well.
I know it's a little early as far as getting down to the nuts and bolts, but will there be a select church parish selected, or will it be all of them at one time?
It'll be select ones to begin with, and I think what we'll see is if it works, because this is what we're, you know, I mean, really what Lily's doing is remember the parable from this weekend, the sower goes out to see, to sow the seeds, and they're sowing seeds across the country.
And you're trying to find them.
And you figure out,
fertile ones.
Which ones grow. Right. And so it'll be the same thing for us. We'll try this with a couple of parishes, and we'll see, okay, now, you know, what's working, what's not working, because part of it is we have to be able to assess this as well. What's the impact? How are we seeing, what's the level of engagement that we're getting? Mm-hmm. And then let's measure that, and let's check in with the teens in a couple of years and see what's going on. Not just teens. We're talking about teens because of Alan, but I mean, it's really even earlier than that, right?
Right.
So, in fact, in some sense, you know, what my wife and I have learned as parents is that the earlier you put the work in, the less work you have to put in at the back end, right?
That's right.
And no. So, really, you know, getting our kids formed in prayer, in service, those are all things that are really, I think. One of the things, the mistakes I think we can make in catechesis is thinking about it as purely intellectual. Right. It's also got to be experiential. They've got to see not just that we go to Mass every Sunday, but what does it mean for the rest of the week?
Yeah. Right. It has to resonate in one's heart.
Absolutely.
Well, if it doesn't hit there, you're right. The intellectual part, after a while, just fades quickly.
Just fades away. So that'll be a part of it as well. And that's one of the things, of course, Franu does very well. We're very engaged in service learning and thinking about how service is a part of this as well.
Well, Dr. David Whitten, we're already out of time. We're going to keep track and have you back periodically to talk about this, along with other things. Being a theologian as you are, and also Vice President of Missions at FRANU, I mean, you've got your plate full, but we appreciate you taking time out to be with us this morning.
Always a pleasure, Damien.
Thanks, you got it, buddy. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. My resurrected Lord, you appeared first to Mary Magdalene after your resurrection. You now invite her to share in your glorious life in heaven. Help me to learn from her by turning away from all sin and becoming deeply devoted to you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Steve Ray joins us with his new book. Josie Duke with St. George School in Baton Rouge will be in the studio. And Kimberly Begg has a new book called Saints Who Inspired Saints. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.